Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Becca and Howie Corbett have everything a family could want until a life-shattering accident turns their world upside down and leaves the couple drifting perilously apart. The play Rabbit Hole by David Lindsay Abaire charts Becca and Howie's bittersweet search for comfort in the darkest places and for a path that will lead them back into the light of day. Rabbit Hole won the 2007 Pulitzer Prize for Drama, and a production of the play opens this Friday night, produced by the Schenectady Civic Players. Amy Lane, our dear friend, plays Becca and joins us now to give us a preview of the production. Amy, always wonderful to have you on the program. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
So how did you come to this role of Becca?
Well, you know, the usual process, Joe.
I auditioned,
I got cast. But I read the script. Part of my process for any role is to read the script ahead of time to see whether or not I actually want to be in the show, because I'm not one of those people who likes to just go and audition for any old thing that's out there. And it's such an incredible play. It's so beautifully written. It's exquisite. And these characters and their journey really appealed to me, and the sort of universality of the sense of loss that they are experiencing and the way in which they get through it. So that's what drew me to the play in general.
Mm. When you take on something like this, and we may have talked about this before, but I find it fascinating because you're in for a bit of an emotional ride. But as my mother told me long ago, well, that's why you go to the theater.
Yes, I think it is. And I think this ride is a lovely one, despite the sad theme and topic of the play and these characters and how they struggle to relate and move forward is, I think, something we can all relate to. It goes back to that old Aristotelian, right? I'm throwing that one out at you.
Nice. Wow. I'm impressed.
Thank you. Idea of catharsis, right? That you can release yourself and by experiencing these emotions safely.
Right. Yeah. God knows if we can deal with our emotions in a safe environment. Not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing at all.
Let's just take a break here in talking about the subject matter of the show itself and talk a little bit about Schenectady Civic Players. You've been involved in this organization for quite a while.
A few years, yeah.
Yeah, so it's been around for a while,
though. It's been around for well over 80 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how do they keep the doors open?
Very, very savvily. I think they have a really good group of people there who are running the show and who make excellent choices with regard to the plays that they decide to put on. And they're very community-minded. They are looking to, you know, expand their building right now. They're working on this mm-hmm. whole project to modernize, which is fantastic. So they work really hard, I think, to fill the seats with good product and good people.
It seems to me that there was a time in theater, in small theater, small town theater, where if you wanted people, and this wasn't all that long ago, maybe 20 years ago, where if you wanted people to come and you had to have an audience, that you had to do something quote-unquote safe. You had to do something known. So you would go and you'd say, okay, we're going to do this play because everybody knows it, and we're going to go for the musicals and so forth. And what I've seen over the last two or three decades is that wonderful organizations like this one have taken these in this case, it won a Pulitzer Prize, we're going to say, so not incredibly obscure, but sometimes maybe not widely known to an audience, mm-hmm. Haven't had, you know, multi-year Broadway runs or whatever, and come into, and what is fascinating is that there's trust in the audience that you as an organization have cultivated to bring people in and say, okay, I may not be familiar with this work, but I'm familiar with a group, and I'm pretty sure they're going to do a great job.
Yes.
Does that seem like that's what happened?
Yeah, actually, I think you kind of nailed it there, Joe. I do. I think there's a certain amount of, you want to find a balance between the tried and true,
right,
and the new and exciting and unknown. And I think, I guess really in my mind, good theater is good theater, whether the play is a known entity or not. And if it's interesting, it's exciting, it's well done, and it's true, then people will respond and they'll tell their friends and people will attend because of that.
Right. Because sometimes you can go and say, oh, all right, I'm going to go see Death of a Salesman. I'm going to see Our Town.
Right.
I'm going to go see something that is known. And that's great. It's a wonderful,
yeah,
a wonderful opportunity for the local actors to do great theater and
sure,
great work. But it's also, for the reasons that you mentioned earlier, an awful lot of fun to go see something that is emotionally different.
Absolutely. I think so. And I think, again, it's trying to find that balance between, like with Rabbit Hole, for example. I'll just throw that one out. It's somewhat known. It's fairly well known. It's more a little more recent. It's not Our Town because it doesn't have the legs and the history behind it. But it's a good play, and we know that it's a good play, and it's very well written. And when it's handled well, like I believe our production is,
yes,
then I hope we get the response that we're looking for, which is that it really moves people and that you know, encourages more people to come and attend. And I think that's what we're all after, is finding those bits of connection between one another and our own lives in that common course of humanity that we all go through every single day.
The play itself is, as I mentioned, written by David Lindsay Hebert, who is a great writer.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just such a, and this, huh, I mean, this is, you know, really one of the great works of in his canon. I don't say this dismissively, but it is funny to me because, like, he wins the Pulitzer, and then he goes and writes Shrek. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just seems like Shrek the musical. And I think, wow, you know, that's kind of gutsy, right?
It is. Although I think when he wrote this was pretty gutsy for him. And it was
sure,
a bit of a different course of, you know, writing style for him. But so everybody needs to grow and change and evolve, Joe. Come on, man.
And make a couple bucks
in
the process.
There's that, too.
Yeah.
As much as we all want to be artists for the sake of art, sometimes you just have to pay the bills and eat.
It's so, not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
When you come to a show like this, tell us a little bit about your cast. Tell us a little bit about how many people are on stage and how that has been working out.
The cast is wonderful, and so I have Robin McDuffie is playing my husband, Howie. By the way, I should mention first and foremost that it's been directed by Jen Van Eiderstein. This is her first full production directorial debut. It's quite
wonderful.
Exciting.
Yes,
yes,
cool.
It is. Catherine Stevens plays my sister, Izzy. Oh, my God, I'm blanking on someone's name. Pardon me. I apologize, my fellow castmates. I'm really
Well, first of all, I shouldn't have set you up for that.
That's quite all right.
I didn't mean to do that.
Ryan Glynn plays the young boy who hit my son with his car. And Laurel Hayes plays my mother, Nat.
Okay.
So there we go. There's my cast list.
So we got everybody.
Yes, we got everybody.
Okay, great. Okay, yeah. Amy, Robin, Catherine, Laurel, Ryan. Okay, good.
Yes, so there's the five of us.
Yes.
We are all on stage once and only once.
And
together.
Oh, so you're always on.
So it's usually 2 to 3, sometimes 4 people at a time, but it's a lot of pairs are happening on stage, these scenes.
And that allows us to really, quite frankly, to see that rabbit hole aspect.
Yes, yes. And I also like the idea of it because all of these characters have been affected by this event, and all of them are dealing with it very, very differently. And it's very real, I believe, in how each of them is impacted by all of this and how they are moving and relating to one another. And so I like the intimacy of the two-person scenes. I like the group scene. There's a party scene, right? It's a birthday party scene, which sort of offers a little bit more of how these people used to relate to each other as a family and are still trying to and move in that, you know, keep this sort of sense of normalcy. And but it's It's lovely. And then the confrontation scene with all five of us on stage at once.
So out of the scenarios that you just described, which takes the most work in rehearsal to sort of to get?
Each of them has their own sort of challenge, I would say. I think sort of how to maneuver everybody on stage and make it look interesting and real is probably the scenes that have all of us, or the party scene, right? So, 'cause you want to keep the dynamism, although at the same time, having two people on stage, you need to keep that sort of dynamic alive as well. So there's that challenge. Emotionally, holy cow, I mean, each one is slightly different from the next, but there are a couple of really good sort of argumentative scenes. So there's that. As far as an actor's concerned, that challenge of making sure that those builds and that level of release is true. And then there are some smaller, more contained emotional scenes that also need to be nuanced. And again, if you know, you just have to find that right balance and in what it is that you're allowing the audience to see and understand.
Is contained another word for brooding?
No, no. As a matter of fact, I would say contained is more, it's about control.
Oh, control of
one's like emotions. Yes, yeah. Not brooding at all. I don't feel like we've really gone in that direction with this production. It's much more of, it's they're trying, right, to get back to a place, huh? 'Cause you can't get back. They're just trying to move forward with this big empty room that lingers, you know, looms on stage, as a matter of fact, throughout the entire piece. There's just this poor vacant room. And that's metaphorical and indicative of everything that they're feeling and, you know, that I'm sure will translate, hopefully, to the audience. So I think it's those attempts and there are, it's contained, I guess, is more controlled and it's more intimate, I guess, was the other way, because I think when you release your emotions, it's out there and you're engaging. And then there's a breakdown scene with my character where she is releasing this, but again, she's trying to sort of shield others from that moment.
Can't imagine you breaking down.
Oh, man. Come see it.
Gotta pay to see you break
down. That's right, man.
All right.
Do
that's
it.
Cool. The Schenectady Civic Players production of David Lindsay Hebert's Rabbit Hole runs this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So it opens on January 30th.
Yep.
So you feel like you're in a good place right now?
I really do. We've
that's
had some
great.
Really good feedback.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So Friday, then, Saturday, Sunday.
And then the following Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
The 4th through the 8th. Yeah. And you can find out information about all of this and make your plans.
Please do.
CivicPlayers.org, CivicPlayers.org, and it is the Schenectady Civic Players production of Rabbit Hole. Amy Lane, always a pleasure. I love having you here. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful run.
Thanks.
And we'll see you on the other side.
Okay.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.